Good morning. Today's daf in Erevin is Ches. We are starting on Zayin Amud Beis. We are about halfway down on Zayin Amud Beis. A short daf, but admittedly a little bit challenging. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion. Let's go back to yesterday. We discussed the basic ideas, the basic concepts of a mavui and tikkun mavui, and how exactly to adjust a mavui. Going back to what we discussed already back on daf vav. In terms of very basic information, and that is if you have a bona fide Rishus HaRabim cannot be converted and be adjusted. In other words, once something has the qualifications of Rishus HaRabim, it simply is not subject to any kind of tikkun, any kind of adjustment that would allow carrying within the Rishus HaRabim. And now I say that, by the way, but with qualification. And that qualification is that in Rishus HaRabim, so you can actually make walls around it, physical walls around it, and doors around it. So, for example, we saw back in Davav, if you have a Rishus HaRabim going through a city, and the city's got gates, and the doors are closed on a nightly basis, like, for example, the city of Yerushalayim, so then the Rishus HaRabim can be made into a Rishus HaYachid, and it can be adjusted, and you can carry in it. But that demands actual physical walls, and even doors, and closed doors. Okay, so let's put that aside. That's a starting point. Then we have a mavui mefulash. Then we have a mavui that goes from one to another, meaning from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim. A mavui mefulash. So that's something that can be adjusted and can be turned into an area where you can carry in that area. How do you adjust a mavui mefulash? So this we saw already. It's machlokas tanaim, going all the way back to Davav. So the Gemara noted machlokas between the Tanakama and Beis Hillel, as reported by the Shita of Chananya. According to the Tanakama, Tzuras HaPesach. He put a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and on the other side, Lech V'Korah, and that now is able to adjust the Mavu Mefulash so that you can carry within the area of the Mavu Mefulash. According to Chananya, you need an actual door on one side, and then a Lech V'Korah on the other side. Does that door have to be closed? That was the discussion back on Dav Vav. If it's a Mavu Sasum, if it's a closed Mavu, so that's basically what we've been discussing since day one. A closed mavui, which is circumscribed on three sides by a wall. So then, on the end, all you need to do is put a lechi v'kora, and then you can now carry within the mavui sasum. That was the basic information. That's basically what we learned in the past couple of days since Daf Vav. With that stated, the Gemara yesterday introduced us to a case which presents complications. We started yesterday with a statement by Rav Yosef, quoting Rav Yehuda Merav. And that is that when this whole discussion of mavui mefulash, in which I need to put on one side something significant, again, either tzuras HaPesach or a kosel, or an actual delis, and on the other side you put lech v'korah, that's only when the mavui mefulash opens from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, if let's say it opens up on one side to Rishus HaRabim and the other side it opens up to a karmelis, so there, under those circumstances, everyone's in agreement, since it doesn't open up to Rishus HaRabim on both sides. So therefore, you don't need the major adjustment of a door. There, Tzuras HaPesach would be sufficient. If it opens up on one side to a bona fide Rishus HaRabim, like we learned yesterday, Sracha, Placha, those are examples of Rishus HaRabim, and a Bika on the other side. And it goes without saying that if it opens up on a Bika on one side, a Bika on the other side, a Karmelis on one side, a Karmelis on the other side. So there, you only need on one end of the mavui mefulash a tzuras HaPesach. On the other hand, on the other side, you need a lechi v'kara, and everyone's in agreement to there. Okay, and that was the easy part, meaning up until now, that's all basic information, and there's nothing to debate, dispute. Well, those parts are pretty straightforward. That's just ABCs. That's just basic. And then we get on to the discussion which started yesterday, which is going to continue well into today's daf, and that's the following. Now we're going to go with a somewhat more intricate case where it is a mavui mefulash. On one side it opens up into Rishus HaRabim. On the other side, it also kind of opens up to Rishus HaRabim. However, it actually opens up into an enclosure. Now we talked about two different enclosures. We talked about a rachva, we talked about a chavser. Both of them are enclosures. There are differences between them in terms of function. Structurally, they're the same. But basically, you have now a Rishus HaRabim where on one side it's open to... I'm sorry. You have a mavui mefulash, which is on one side open to Rishus HaRabim. On the other side, you walk first through this enclosure, either a rachva, which is a backyard, or a chatzer, which is basically a front yard, and then and only then does it open up into Rishus HaRabim. So then what do you do under those circumstances? How do you adjust such a mavui mefulash? So We start with a statement that was made by Rav Yehuda yesterday. We don't know whether he got that from Rav Shmuel, but Rav Yehuda said, and you can see this on the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph, that if I have on one side a Rishus Rabbim, on the other side I have this enclosure, so under those circumstances, Ein Sarich Klum, it needs nothing. No adjustment whatsoever on the side that opens up to the enclosure. I just simply need a Lechi V'Korah on the side that opens up to the Rishus Rabbim and be done with it, and that be sufficient. This was stated in the name of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara's discussion started yesterday, and now we're going to continue today. Rav Yehuda was saying this in whose name? It could either be Rav or Shmuel. Why the two candidates? Because as we pointed out yesterday, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. And since both of them are his Rebbeim, so sometimes we're going to find throughout Shas that he quotes B'Shem Rav, sometimes he quotes B'Shem Shmuel. So which of his two Rebbeim did he learn this from? So the Gemara says, I have to assume that he learned it from Shmuel, not by Rav. Why? So this is now where we turn to Zayin Amud Beis in terms of yesterday's daf. This is just all review. And that is because we know we have the following statement made by Rav. And here's where we're going to begin inside. We're on the top of Zayin Amud Beis. We did this yesterday, but this is a good starting point in terms of getting ourselves grounded for today's daf. And we begin on the top of the Amud. The Amr of Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amar Rav. So this is something that was said B'Shem Rav. And that is Mavui Shenifritz. B'mlova L'chatzer. V'nifritz L'chatzer Kenegdo. Chatzer Matev. So Mavui Yasser. I have a Mavui Mefulash. On one side it's open to Rishus Rabbim. On the other side it's open to a Chatzer. Now again, Chatzer, Rachva are structurally the same. Functionally a little bit different. Again, I just want to reiterate that a Chatzer is basically a front yard, where there's people and there's traffic, and Rachva is basically a backyard where there are no people, no traffic. But in terms of both of them, they both are enclosures. If you want to see a picture of this in the Gemara itself, you can go back to Zayin Amud Aleph. You could turn to the bottom of the page, and you'll see a schematic in Rashi. I don't know maybe the Gemara's got a little bit updated. I'm operating with a older edition of the Gemara, but in my schematic. So the Mavui is closed on three sides. That's imprecise. If you probably have a better picture than what I'm looking at right now. The Mavui in the schematic that I'm looking at within Rashi. So the Mavui opens up on the left side to the Rishus Rabbim. And on the right side, it opens up into this enclosure. Now you'll notice carefully this enclosure, where if you're standing from the perspective of the Mavui, so you're not going to see the walls of the Chatzer. Because the Chatzer is, in this case, the Rachva, either one, is larger than that of the Mavui. So while you're standing within the Mavui, you're looking towards the Rachva or the Chatzer. So basically what you're seeing is open space. In fact, we're going to assume right now that it's perfect alignment, meaning that the opening to the Rishus Rabbim on the right side is exactly aligned with the opening of the Mavui. So while you're standing within the Mavui, you're basically looking out to the Rishus Rabbim. Said in the name of Rav that if you have the circumstance, now he's not referring to a Rachva, he's referring to a Chatzer, but still, it's basically going to be the same point. So if I have a Mavui that's opened up to the Chatzer, and the Chatzer then opens up into the Rishus Rabbim, so under those circumstances, what's the halacha? You can carry within the Chatzer is Muteres, the Mavui is going to be Aser. Now, pretty much this is what we got up to yesterday, and now we can analyze. In terms of the chatzer, why can I carry within the chatzer? Well, that's actually pretty easy. Because if you look at the chatzer in of itself, you're basically surrounded by four walls. If you were standing within the chatzer or within the rachva, either one, so you're being surrounded by four walls. You got walls all around you. In other words, if you're looking in the direction of the mavui, so there are walls over there. Obviously, the entrance to the mavui, but we're assuming that entrance is less than 10 amos, so it's just a pesach. If you look in the direction of the Rishus HaRabim, there are walls there as well. Obviously, an opening to the Rishus Rabbim, but again, the same assumption that it's less than 10 amos, and so therefore that's the wall. And obviously, on the other two sides, you're also surrounded by walls. So it's walls on all four sides. So the Chatzer itself is mutter because you're surrounded by four walls. Here becomes the critical point, and that is the Mavui. So clearly, Rav says that you cannot carry within the Mavui. Now, why can you not carry within the Mavui? Here's what we think right now. Our thinking right now, the Gemara's thinking right now, is that you can't carry within the Mavui because this Mavui is a Mavui Mefulash. Meaning, look carefully at this Mavui while you're standing within the Mavui. You look in one direction, Rishus HaRabim, directly, into Rishus HaRabim. You look in the other direction, yes, there is an enclosure, but the truth of the matter is that from where you're standing right now, you're pretty much looking directly at another Rishus HaRabim. And so now this mavui is a mavui mafulash. Ah, so you can't carry within the mavui because the mavui is a mavui mafulash. Okay. And if this is a correct understanding of what Rav is saying, this is now going against the statement of Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda says that in pretty much the same scenario, the only notable difference is that Rav Yehuda was talking about a rachva, not a chatzir. But in Rav Yehuda's scenario, he said that you can carry within the mavui, and it doesn't need any adjustment whatsoever. So over here now, when I'm looking at the statement of Rav Yehuda, put it right side by side with the statement of Rav, so you see that there seems to be a total disagreement between Rav Yehuda and Rav. And this is where we left off yesterday. Now, to be fair, the Gemara says actually there are two points of contention between Rav Yehuda and Rav. That's how the Gemara started on the Amud Beis, right? E de Rav, I'm just going back one line to the top line of the Amud, de ikarav, kashya de Rav adarav betarte. So the Gemara says that there actually are two points of contention between the two. One, the one I just raised, that according to Rav, we are looking at this as mavui mafulash, and according to Rav Yehuda, we don't look at it as a mavui mafulash. And the second point, which is much more subtler, but it's still, the Gemara obviously is referring to a second point as well, and what I'm saying can be found in Rashi, I'm just paraphrasing it right now. And the second point is that if you look carefully at the statement of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's example was that of a rachva, not that of a chatzir. Meanwhile, Rav's statement was regarding a chatzir, meaning from Rav's standpoint, it doesn't matter what that enclosure is. It could be a chatzir, and it could be a rachva. The same halacha is going to be the case, which is that we look at it as a mavu mefulash, whereas according to Rav Yehuda, he would only say it by a rachva, not by a chatzir. On the second point, you can see Rashi for more details over here in terms of why that is a point of contention as well. In the meantime, however, let's just, for our purposes right now, just to streamline the Gemara, we're just going to focus on the first point, which is that it's a mavui mafulash according to Rav, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's not a mavui mafulash, and so what we have now is a disagreement between Rav Yehuda and Rav. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that when Rav Yehuda made the statement, he didn't hear it from Rav, because Rav wouldn't agree to it, he must have heard it from Shmuel. And that's pretty much what the Gemara is going to say. And v'amai, lehavika mavui shekala l'rachva, so the Gemara says, let this be viewed as a mavui that ends in a rachva, meaning let's view the rachva as a structure. And why would Rav say, therefore, that it should be a mavui mafulash? It's not a mavui mafulash. So amalei, so in response, he said, analeyadana. So he says, look, I don't know where Rabbi Yehuda got this halacha from, but here's what I know. Uvda hava bedur de'ru'usa. There was the following episode that took place in a mavui that belonged to a group of shepherds, and mavui shekala l'rachva, and it was exactly what we're describing right now, where a mavui opens up on two ends, one end directly to Rishus HaRabim. On the other end, it opens up into this enclosure. And v'asal kamet Rav Yehuda, and I know that the question came in front of Rav Yehuda, v'lo itzruchu v'lo midi. And I know for a fact that Rav Yehuda required no adjustment whatsoever, meaning Rav Yehuda did not view it as a mavui mafulash, period. So, in terms of where he got it from, so I'm not sure about that, but in terms of his halacha and his psak, I'm pretty sure about that. So v'ikash mishmei derav te'avim mishmei deshmo v'lo kashamidi. And so therefore, the conclusion now seems to be pretty clear. And that is Rav Yehuda did not get it from Rav, he got it from Shmuel. And once he gets it from Shmuel, so lo kashamidi, there's no difficulty whatsoever, meaning I totally understand now. Okay, so right now we have a halacha set over by Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara's conclusion, which seems to be the most reasonable one, is he didn't get it from Rav. Because when you look at Rav's statement on the top of our Amud, on Zayin Amud Beis, so you see that there seems to be absolutely no agreement between the statement of Rav Yehuda on the previous Amud and the statement of Rav on the top of our Amud. Good. Now the Gemara says, now that we're here, the Gemara says, now, actually, we can synthesize the Shita of Rav Yehuda and that of Rav. How are we synthesizing? Because of the following. Hashadam Ralei Rav Sheshach Rav Shmuel Bar Abba V'Amrilei L'Rav Yosef Bar Abba Azbar Alach. He says, let me explain to you, meaning that when Rav made the statement that this mavui is not to be viewed as a mavui mafulash, so he says that statement needs clarification, and I'm going to clarify. Kanshi irvu, kanshi lo irvu. The difference is whether an irv was made or an irv was not made. So now that we see that difference, now I'm going to explain what that difference means in just a moment, but there is a distinction within the Shita of Rav. So now, the Rav of the Rav, nami lo kasha. There is no stira between Rav and Rav. Kanshi irvu b'nei chatzir b'nei mavui, kan shelo irvu. So the difference is going to be when an erev was made versus when an erev was not made. And now we get to clarify. And that is as follows. Up until this point in time, the way we previously understood Rav is that the reason why you can't carry in this mavui is because it's a mavui mafulash. That's the way we originally presented it. And in no way now can that be in agreement with the Shita of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, fine. But the truth of the matter is that that's not the correct understanding of Rav. The issue for Rav in this Mavui that opens up on one side to the Rishus Rabin, and on the other side opens up to a Chatzir, the issue is not that it's a Mavui Mefulash. In fact, Rav is not bothered by that at all, meaning Rav does not view it like a Mavui Mefulash. Rav views it like a Mavui Sasum, meaning that on one side it does open up to the Rishus Rabin, but on the other side, it doesn't open up directly to Rishus Rabin. It opens up into an enclosed area. And Rav says that that is considered a Mavui Sasum. Oh. So if that's true, so then why did Rav say that I can't carry within the Mavui? So for here we have now a secondary issue, which now becomes the primary issue. Meaning because Rav fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that this is not a Mavui Mefulash. What's the issue now? The issue is the following. When I have a Mavui that opens up into a Chatzer, so again, we have to look at that structure very carefully. When it opens up into the Chatzer, or in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, it opens up to the Rachva, so now I have a scenario in which, from the Rachva's perspective or the Chatzer's perspective, as we already pointed out, it is clearly enclosed on all four sides. But when I'm in the Mavui, it is what's called the terminology that you're going to hear a lot in the course of this Masechta is that Mavui is basically viewed as a Chatzer Ketana. It's viewed as basically a small courtyard opening up into a large courtyard. And from the perspective of the Mavui, you don't see the walls of the Mavui, meaning because it is a smaller structure opening up into a larger structure, so you don't see the walls over there. So carrying within the larger Chatzer, in this case, what we described as either being the Chatzer or the Rachva, in of itself, that would be, of course, fine. Carrying within the Mavui, so that's something that you cannot do because the Mavui is opened up in total into the Chatzer. And so, therefore, we have now is a situation in which the Mavui opens up into an area that I can't carry from the Mavui into the Chatzer. Therefore, I'm not allowed to carry within the Mavui altogether. This is an idea that we're going to hear a number of times. If this is the first time we're hearing this concept, so admittedly, it's a little bit tricky, it's a little bit difficult. But that's really the issue behind Rav. Now we understand the difference between making an Erev and not making an Erev. I think this is the first time in the Masechta that we're formally discussing making an Erev. Meaning, up until now, we've been discussing adjusting, putting a Lechi, putting a Korah, etc., etc. In terms of making an Erev, what does that mean? It means taking two Rishus HaYachids that are next to one another, that are not owned by the same person or the same group, and unifying. So how do you unify? We're going to discuss this extensively later in the Masechta. And it's actually very simple. Each member is going to make a contribution of a loaf of bread or any amount of food. We'll discuss that in more detail later on. And then when everyone makes a contribution, putting it in a central location. So now what we've done is we've unified those two areas, making one be able to carry from one to another. This is, in fact, of course, what we all do when we live within a Eruv. When we live within an Eruv, so we're living within a structure that is a Rishus HaYachid, that is its own set of halachas, and then afterwards what we do is we all make a contribution. Now, perhaps you don't remember making a contribution, but you're going to hear this a lot over the course of Erevin, and that is someone made the contribution on your behalf. And based on the principle of Zachal Adam Shalom Befanav, someone can make a contribution on your behalf. Fine. This is the idea of making an Erev. So what Rav is saying is the following. If the residents of the Mavui and the residents of the Chatzer made an Erev unifying one another, so then how do we look at this structure of a Mavui and a Chatzer? It's one single entity. And under those circumstances, you are allowed to carry from the Mavui to the Chatzer, from the Chatzer to the Mavui. Meaning as far as the structure itself, the Mavui itself, it's not a Mavui Mefulash. The issue is that I can't carry from the Mavui to the Chatzer because the Mavui is open in its entirety into the Chatzer. But once the Mavui and the Chatzer make an Erev together, unifying one to another, so then I'm allowed to carry. If I don't make an Erev, so then you're not allowed to carry within the Mavui, because the Mavui is Nifrat Bimeluo, it opens up entirely into the Chatzer. Okay, now that we're here, so what we've now done is what we qualified Rav. Once we qualified Rav, the truth of the matter is that Rav Yehuda heard his halacha directly from Rav. And now we understand that there is synthesis, there is total agreement between Rav Yehuda and the Shita of Rav. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, but the Gemara continues. And the Gemara is now going to go on an interesting path, which is that now that we synthesize the Shita of Rav Yehuda and the Shita of Rav, so now the Gemara wants to know, let's go back to our Havamina, as we are now to the top of Chesem and Aleph. So the Gemara wants to go back to what we originally thought, and just better understand the Havamina of the Gemara. Now, it's interesting because, obviously, we've concluded, and that is that, as far as Rabbi Yehuda and as far as Rav are concerned, they both view the Mavli as a Mavli Sosim, not a Mavli Mefulash, yet the Gemara, for a moment, thought that their disagreement was more fundamental, that Rav viewed it as a Mavli Mefulash, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Mavli Sosim. And so the Gemara says, now, I want to go back to that thought, even though that's not the conclusion, and I want to understand the Havavina just a little bit better, as we are now on the top of Chesem Adalef. So what we thought originally is that there was a machlokis, despite, regardless of whether an eruv was made or an eruv was not made. So be eruv be my pli, be shlo eruv be my pli. The Gemara says, I would like to understand that machlokis a little bit better as far as the havamin is concerned. So bishlo eruv pligi benir be mechutz v'shav b'mifnim. So as far as where no eruv was made, so the Gemara says here is how we're going to explain the machlokis, and that's the following. Again, let's take a look at the Mavli. The Mavli, as it opens up into the Chatzer or into the Rachva, so is there any adjustment on that side? So the answer at face value is no. But even though as we say no, let's qualify that no. Because when you're standing within the Mavli and you're looking in the direction of the Chatzer, so you don't see a Lechi over there because there is no Lechi over there. But what if I stood in the Chatzer and looked in the direction of the Mavli? Do I see a Lechi? The answer is kind of. Now, the lechi is not going into the interior of the entrance. The lechi is the posts that go to that head to the outside. Meaning, when standing into the chatzer, those walls that make up that wall of the chatzer outside of the entrance of the mavoi, they could be viewed as a lechi. Now, this is what is called an halacha nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi b'fnim. We're going to discuss this extensively in tomorrow's daf. And that is that when the lechi can be viewed only from one direction, is that going to be viewed as is that going to be called the lechi, yes or no? The Gemara is suggesting that's the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav. Again, in the Havamina, I know this Gemara is tricky because the Gemara now is going back to what we originally thought, even though the Gemara concluded that that's not correct. But going back to what we originally thought, that there was an actual debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita of Rav, or if you would rather, we can just simply call it the debate between Rav and Shmuel. That may be a little bit easier. Meaning when we assume that when Rabbi Yehuda was quoting not Rav, but rather Shmuel. So in the debate between Rav and Shmuel, this is the machlokis in terms of whether to view the wall that you cannot see from the Mavui, but you can only see from the Chatzir or the Rachva, whether that can be construed as a Lechi. So that could be one way to see the debate between the two of them. And Be'irvu, now what if they did make an Eruv? So if they did make an Eruv, how could there be a machlokis if they made an Eruv? Meaning, once they made an Eruv, they unified the two structures that are one next to another. So the Gemara says, no, but there, Kemiflegi, B'Rav Yosef, so there they could be having an argument within the sheet of Rav Yosef. Da'amar Rav Yosef, lo shanu ela shekala la'emtza rachva. Ava kala litzide rachva aser. This structure, where I have a Mavli and I have a Chatzar, and I even made an Eruv between the two of them, and this idea now, that the Mavli is not going to be viewed as a Mavli Mefulash, is only when the Mavli opens up to the center of the Chatzar, or the center of the Rachva. But let's say it doesn't open up to the center, but it opens up simply to one side. Now over here, a picture would be really valuable. Now, whatever picture you're looking at right now, basically what I'm going to try to illustrate in your mind is this idea where, because the Mavli is not opening up to the center of the Chatzar, but rather, you have basically one wall running straight from the Mavli through the Chatzar, now to the next Rishus HaRabim. Under those circumstances, Rav Yosef is of the position, this is a Mavli Mefulash according to everybody. And since this is a Mavli Mefulash according to everybody, because when you're looking at that one wall, so basically what your eye is doing now is your eye is not being able to make any distinction between where the Mavli ends, where the Chatzar begins, where the Chatzar ends, and where the Rishus HaRabim begins. So under those circumstances, this for sure now is going to be viewed as a Mavli Mefulash. And under those circumstances, a lechi and a kara is simply going to be insufficient. Presumably, by the way, the Gemara doesn't say this, but presumably, if you make a tzuras haPesach or if you make a door, so that would be good. But short of that, you simply do not have now a mavli sosim, you have a mavli mefulash. And it could very well be that this statement of Rav Yosef is going to be the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara just simply backed up to the Havamina, and the Gemara explained what could be the issues between Rav and Shmuel based on the Havamina. So if you didn't make an Eruv, it could be, number one, how to view a Lechi. If the Lechi can only be seen by one side but not on the other side, is that a Lechi? And even if I did make an Eruv, what they could be debating is the statement of Rav Yosef, which is that if the Mavi opens up into the Chatzar, or into the Rachva, but not into the center of the Rachva, or the Chatzar, but rather along the side, so then Rav Yosef says it's a Mavi Mefulash, and that could be a point of debate between Rav and Shmuel. We continue in the Gemara on Chesam and Aleph, continuing now with more halachas regarding this particular structure. Amar Rabba. Now, when we say that the Mavui opens up into the Chatzar, into the center of the Chatzar, and we said that it's Mutar, Lo Amarna Ela Zeshlo Kenegizeh, that's only if they're offline one another, meaning that there is not a straight line between the opening of the Chatzar and the opening of the Mavui. They have to be offset one off the other. Aval Zeh Kenegizeh Aser, but if they're not offset, and from when you're standing in the Mavui, you're really just looking out through the Chatzar and into the Rishus HaRabim, that's a Mavui Mefulash, and then it would be Aser. This is Rabbah's statement. Now, presumably, and it's not clear, by the way, but presumably Rabbi Yehuda would not agree with that, but this is Rabbah's qualification. Now, even when we said that they're offset one off the other, the entrance of the Mavui and the entrance of the Chatzar are not in perfect alignment, and we said under those circumstances it would be mutter. Lomar elamat rachva derabim. That's only when the enclosure is something that's owned by the public, owned by a group of people. Aval rachva diachid. But if that enclosure is only owned by one person, zimnin demim lachala ubani labatim v'habalei kamavi shikalala litzide rachva va'aser. Here's what we have to be concerned about. It's an interesting concern, and that is that when the structure is owned by one person, so he's going to be rearranging the furniture. Now, I don't mean that literally, but basically, when one person owns a structure, so it is subject to change, meaning he doesn't have to consult with anybody. He can make any kind of changes within the structure that he wants, and we have to be concerned that now what he's going to do is he's going to switch around the entrance of the Rachva, the entrance where it goes out to the Rishus HaRabim, where it goes into the Mavui, and what can end up happening is that you will have enough of a physical structural change where you're going to have the wall basically going straight out from the Mavui through the Rachva through the Rishus HaRabim. Now, understandably, that is a strange concern to have, but the Gemara is going to source it, and the Gemara is going to say that this is actually a concern of the Chachamim. But you only need to be concerned about this when it's owned by an individual. If it's owned by a group, so when something's owned by a group, obviously, to change a structure, you're going to need agreement by all members of the group. It's going to be much harder to change. It'll be much more unlikely that a structural change will occur. And the Gemara now is going to support this idea. And the Gemara says, now this idea, that when something is owned by an individual, and we are concerned, the Chachamim are concerned, that it is going to be subject to change. How do I know that? The Amar Ravim Barav Ada, Amar Rav Yisak, Maisa B'mavui, Echad, Shitzido Echad Kala Liyam, Vesido Echad Kala Ashba. He says, because I'm going to tell you the following incident, where I had a Mavui, where the walls of the Mavui, interesting walls. One wall of the Mavui was the embankment along what the Gemara describes here as an ocean, probably a lake, whatever the case is, an embankment made one side of the Mavui, made the wall of one side of the Mavui, and the other one was an Ashba, was a garbage heap. Garbage heap back in the good old days, so it was high, it was at least 10 tefachim high. And this garbage heap actually served as the wall, the other side of the wall. Granted, by the way, I don't know how exciting it would be to walk through such a Mavui. But anyway, you have now physically two walls that are on the two sides of the Mavui. And Uvam Maisa Lifnei Rebbe, now the matter came in front of Rebbe, V'lo Amra Ba, V'lo Heter, V'lo Isser. Now Rebbe did not paskin on this Mavui, not Leheter, not Leisser. Isser Lo Amra Ba, Dehakayma Mechitzos. Now, on one hand, it didn't have the actual physical walls. On the other hand, Heter Lo Amar Ba, Chayshir and Shematinat Al Ashba V'Yale Hayam Sirton. So, as far as saying, okay, but now that it has walls, why doesn't he allow it? So, Rebbe didn't say that it was mutter because he was worried about structural change. Now, there are two sides of this Mavui. One was the embankment, and the other one was the Ashba, was the garbage dung, was the garbage pile. Now, as far as the embankment is concerned, so erosion can occur on the side of the embankment, and so that's subject to change. And even the garbage pile, well, the garbage pile may be moved, and that's also subject to change, and so therefore Rebbe was not confident that the walls of this Mavui will stay intact. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about this Psak of Rebbe, Psak or lack of Psak. The Gemara says, now there is a Mishnah that we're going to be seeing much later on in this Masechta. Ashba b'rishus harabim gavo yutvachim. So let's say I have a garbage pile that is 10 tvachim high and 4x4. I'll add that in because clearly over here we're going to be looking at a v'rishus yachin. Chalon sha'al gaba zorkin la b'shabbos. If I have a window of a house directly over this garbage pile, so I can throw something out from the house onto the garbage pile, because that's only a transfer from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid. So what clearly is stated over there in that Mishnah, coming much later on in the Masechta, is the idea that when I have a garbage pile, I don't have to be worried that it's going to change. The garbage pile, as long as it has the dimensions of Rishus Yachid, will continuously have the dimensions of Rishus Yachid. So now, let's consider. In the case of the Mavui and Rebbe said, I'm worried that the garbage pile is going to change structurally. In the Mishnah later on, we're going to learn together that we're not worried about that. What do we have to say? Alma, Shani, Bein Ashba de Rabim, Ashba de Yachin. There is going to be a difference between a garbage pile owned by the public versus an individual. So, Hachinami, Shani, Bein Rachba de Rabim, Rachba de Yachin. So, therefore, over here as well, there is going to be a difference between a Rachba owned by an individual, where it is subject to change because he doesn't have to consult with anybody, as opposed to a rachva owned by a group, where there we're not worried. Okay, so the Gemara now just simply created a precedent to show that when something is owned by an individual, it is subject to change, and the Chachamim were worried about that. On the other hand, when something is owned by a group, it's not subject to change, and we don't have to worry about that. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end, almost the end of these series of halachas, where I have the Mavui opened up to a Rachva, and we talked about where it is aligned, where it's offset. Even if it's offset, do we have to worry about structural change? Depends on whether it's owned by a group versus owned by an individual. We're almost done with this section. The Rabbanan Mai. The Gemara now wants to know, now that we clearly stated the Psak of Rebbe, where Rebbe was concerned, so what would be the Shita of the Chachamim? So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Adimi, Tana v'Chachamim Osim, the Chachamim say that's prohibited. I'm Rav Nachman, halacha k'divrei chachamim, and the halacha in fact falls like the chachamim. Now, ikadamer in another version, I'm Rav Yosef Bar Avdimi, Tana, the chachamim matirin. Here we have the chachamim saying that it's mutter, meaning as long as there are physical walls, so then the mavui is in fact going to be viewed as a mavui. Now, I'm Rav Nachman, ain halacha k'divrei chachamim. Now, in this version, although we have the chachamim being mako, but Rav Nachman says the halacha does not fall like the chachamim. Ad Kan. That takes us to the end of, admittedly, a difficult section of Erevin, a difficult section of the first parak of Erevin. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We are more than halfway down in Chesamad Aleph. Meremar, Pasik Le Lesurei, Be'uzle. Amar Chayshin and Shama Yala Hayam Sirton. So the Gemara, as long as it discussed erosion, meaning we were using an embankment of a lake, of an ocean, as one of the walls. We're going to talk later in the Masechta in terms of what the embankment has to look like, in terms of the angle of the embankment. But the Gemara mentioned that Rebbe was worried about erosion. Meremar, an Amora, later historically, was also worried about erosion. And so therefore, in the town of Sura, where it had an embankment as a wall, nevertheless, he set up uzle. Now, uzle are presumably some form of a net, meaning some sort of wall that he put along the embankment. Amar, because he was worried, Chashin Hashem Yala Hayam Sirton, he was worried about the erosion of the embankment, and so therefore, he insisted that the town of Sura not rely on the embankment of this lake or this ocean, but rather set up walls, so even if there is an erosion on the embankment, you can be rest assured that there's still going to be walls. Continuing, Hahu Mavui Akam Dahava Besura. Now there was a Mavui Akam. We come back to the topic of Mavui Akam. It has been a prominent feature so far here in this first parak, first introduced to the idea of Mavui Akam on Vavam and Aleph, and let's review. Mavui Akam is where I have a Mavui that does not go straight from one Rishus HaRabim to another, but rather makes a bend. On Vavam and Aleph, we talked about making a 90-degree turn. On Vavam and Beis, we talked about a Mavui that made two left-hand turns. It looked like a U. Either way, how do you view this Mavui Akam? Is it viewed as a Mavui Mefulash or a Mavui Sasum? So you remember, that's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. On Vavam and Aleph, we had the Shita of Rav, that a Mavui Akum is viewed as a Mavui Mefulash. It's viewed as a Mavui that basically goes straight through, even with the turn, but he views it as one single Mavui, and Rav said it's a Mavui Mefulash. Shmuel, on the other hand, said no, that once it makes a turn, we don't view it as a Mavui Mefulash, we look at it as two separate mavuis that happen to back up one into the other. So here now in our Gemara, we return back to the topic of Mavu Yakum. So there was a Mavu Yakum in the town of Sura, and Kruch Budja, Usivebe Ba'akmum Usei. So what they did is they took up some sort of mat, and they put it in the corner of the mavui of this mavui akum on the bend. And the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Chista halo karavlo kishmol." Now Rav Chista said, "Wait 1 second. You were doing this in order to appease which position, Rav Shmuel? I'll tell you what. You didn't make anyone happy because LeRav Damar Tarasa Kimaful Tzuras Pesach Bay. Because according to Rav, even though you put a structure in the corner, but from Rav's perspective, it's a mavui mafulash. How do you correct a mavui mafulash? You need a tzuras pesach, like we discussed already yesterday, the day before. And so Rav wouldn't be happy because he views it as a mavui mafulash, and the correction and the adjustment of a mavui mafulash has to be a tzuras pesach. And in the very least, by the way, meaning there is an opinion that you need a door, but it's certainly putting just a little, some sort of mat over there on the corner, insufficient. And l'shmul damar tarasa kesasam hanimile lechem ha'alya. Ava hai kevan dinashu vezika v'shad yilei lo klumhu. And what is it? And now we're going to say, like the Shita Shmuel, that it's not a mavui mefulas, but rather it's a mavui sasam. Okay, but you need a lechi. And over here, if all you did was just simply put a mat in the corner and you call that a lechi, you can't call that a lechi because a lechi cannot be something that blows away. This is something that blows away. And so the Gemara concludes, v'inayitz be sichte v'chavre chavre. So if you put a nail into it and you really connect it to the corner, so then yes, so then Shmuel would be happy. Then you can call that a bona fide lechi. Now it does sound like from our Gemara over here that this piece that was added to be called a lechi was put in the corner. Now you go back to the Rashi back on Daf Vav when we were first introduced to this idea of a mavo yakum, exactly where the lechi v'kora goes. It sounds like that the lechi and the kora should be going on the entrance, not on the bend. And so the Gemara's language over here is admittedly a little bit difficult. Okay, but I'll just simply point it out. We're going to go on. Gufa Amrav Yirmi Abba Abba Amrav. The Gemara now cannot seem to get enough of this case of with a mavui where one side opens up into the Rishus Rabim and the other side opens up into a chatzar. The Gemara goes back and the Gemara wants to discuss it a little bit more. So Amrav Yirmi Abba Abba Amrav Mavui Shenifrat Bimloa Lechatzir. I have the mavui opening up into a chatzar where we started off this morning. Venifrat Lechatzir Kenegdo Chatzir Mutaris Mavui Yasser. So again, the statement of Rav. In that carrying within the chatzar would be mutter, as we already explained in the beginning of Shir this morning. Carrying within the mavui is going to be aser. Again, a lengthy discussion that we had in the beginning of Shir this morning in terms of why that should be. But according to Rav, it's aser. So Amalei Rav Barula the Ravi Barbaye Rabbi Lo Mishnatenu Izu. So he says, okay, this is a statement made by Rav. The Gemara now wants to know it's a mishnah, meaning as difficult as the case is, when all is said and done. It's a Mishnah that we're going to be seeing. We're going to be seeing this Mishnah tomorrow. We're going to be seeing the actual Mishnah later in the Masechta. It's a Mishnah. Chatzar Ketana, Shenifrat Sala Gedola. Gedola's Mutaris Ve'Ketana Asur, Mimeshihi Kipitzcha Shal Gedola. The Mishnah, which we're going to see a number of times, describes this scenario where I have a small Chatzar opening up into a large Chatzar. And this structure, which we're going to keep hearing again and again, so the Mishnah says very clearly, I can carry within the large chatzar because, again, when you're standing within the large chatzar, what you're looking around you is you're surrounded by four walls. There's a mavui that it opens up to, but it's a small mavui. So that means to say that from where you're standing, you actually see the walls, and the entrance into the mavui is nothing less than just simply an entrance. It's a pesach. However, when you're standing in the small chatzar, so when you're looking around you, you see only three walls. You don't see the fourth wall because it opens up entirely into the large chatzar. And the Mishnah says, I can carry within the large chatzar, I can't carry within the small chatzar. So Amar Lei, so to that, now the question over here is as follows. So now that we know that Mishnah, how is the case of the Mavui opening up into the chatzar any different than that Mishnah over there? And if we already established it from that Mishnah, what is Rav introducing that we didn't know already from the Mishnah by itself? So Amar Lei, Imi Hasam, so he says like this, if I only had that Mishnah, Hav Amina Hani Mili, Heicha Delo Kadarsi Bei Rabin. I would have thought that that's only talking about a scenario where you didn't have traffic. I would have thought that maybe with traffic, you can't even carry within the large chatzar. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, no, I never would have thought that. Because we have another Mishnah, which is Chaser, Sharabin Nichnasim La, Bezuva, Yosim La, Bezuva, Shosa Rabin Latuma, Bishosa Yachel Shabbos. We have a mission that says very clearly that if I have a Chaser, and even though there's traffic within the Chaser, and people are going out into the Rishos Rabin, I'm sorry, and people are exiting through the Chaser, but in other words, it's a Chaser with four walls around it, even with traffic, vis-a-vis Tuma, it's considered Rishos Rabin. Meaning the halacha that we've gone over many times before, and that is that when it comes to Safek Tuma Rishos Rabin, Sfeiko Tahor. Safek Tuma Rishos Yachid, Sfeiko Tameh. Here, when we're talking about Rishos Rabin, Rishos Yachid, vis-a-vis Tuma and Safek Tuma, so there we're not talking about the halachas of Shabbos, we're talking about the halachas of Tuma. And there, Rishos Rabin just simply means there's people there. And Rishos Yachid just simply means there are no people there. Because the entire source of Safek Tuma is based on the Sota, when it's just her and this other man, so that is a Rishos Yachid. When there are other people there, it's a Rishos Rabin. Anyway, it's an important point, but the main point is that vis-a-vis Shabbos, it is a Rishos Yachid. So the Gemara says, so when I have a Rishos Yachid structurally, and I'm being surrounded by four walls, even though there's traffic, it is still going to be viewed as a Rishos Yachid vis-a-vis Shabbos. So, I put this Mishnah together with the previous Mishnah, and I now know the halacha. When I have a Chatzar Gedola and a Chatzar Katana opening up into the Chatzar Gedola, so the Mishnah says I can carry within the Chatzar Gedola. Oh, I might have thought, oh, but if there's traffic, oh, that's going to upset the structure. It's not going to upset the structure. We see clearly right now that even though there's traffic, it's still going to be viewed as a Rishos Yachid. So, Ime Hasam Hava Minahani Milizeh Shalo Keneged Zeh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if all I had was that Mishnah, so then I would have thought that the allowance to carry within the Chatzar is when the entrance of the Mavli and the entrance of the Chatzar going out to the Rishos Rabim is offset. Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh Eim Alo. But if they're not offset, if they are aligned, so then I might have thought that one would not be allowed to carry within the Chatzar, because basically what I'm looking at over here is a Mavui Mefulash. So the Gemara says that is a Havamina, and what Rav is coming to teach us is that we don't view it as a Mavui Mefulash, but rather we view it as just simply a Chatzar, allowing you to carry in the Chatzar. So the Gemara says, good. Now we understand the Chiddush of Rav. But the Gemara says, but let's remember what we learned in today's Daf. So you don't have to go back that far. And that is the Shita of Rabbah. You go back to the Amud Aleph of today's Daf. And the Shita of Rabbah, it was first introduced to us towards the top of Chesamad Aleph, about eight lines down from the from the top of Chesamad Aleph. And that is that Rabbah's of the position that when the entrance of the Mavli and the entrance of the Chatzar are in fact in alignment with one another, it is in fact, viewed as a Mavli Mefulash. Ula Rabbah Damar Zeh Keneged Zeh Aser. So Had Rabbah My Mukila. So if you assume that Rav is in agreement with Rabbah, now Rabbah comes later, historically, but if you assume that Rav agrees with Rabbah, so now, where exactly does the Chiddush of Rav exist? Meaning, I take my Mishnah in Erevin, which says that you're allowed to carry within the large Chatzar, and I take the next Mishnah, which says that even though there's traffic, it's still going to be a Chatzar. And if I assume, like Rabbah, that when they're aligned, the entrance of the Mavui and the Chatzar going out to the Rishus HaRabim are in alignment, so then we have to view it as a Mavli Mefulash, and you can't carry. So then where is the Chiddush of Rav? Because the only case now that we're describing is when they're off alignment. Well, if they're off alignment, so Rav is not seemingly introducing anything to the discussion. So B'mai Mukila, that's the Gemara's question. B'zeh Shalom K'neged Zeh Tartal Amali. So now Rav is just repeating what we already would have concluded from the Mishnayos. So the Gemara says, Imi Hasam Hava Mina Hani Mila Lizro. So the Gemara says, no. Because if all I had was a statement of the Mishnah, I might have thought, yes, it's a Rishos Yachid, but only L'chumra. If I were to throw something from the Rishos Rabim into the Chatzar, so you'd be Chayiv. Aval Litatel Eim Alo. But to carry within the Chatzar, maybe no. Maybe, because it opens up into a Mavim on one side, and because it opens up to Rishos Rabim on the other side, I might have thought that it's only Rishos Yachid L'chumra, but not to be able to carry. What Rav is teaching us is that no, you can actually carry within this Chatzar because it is circumscribed by four walls. Okay, that kind of takes us now to the end of that section of the Gemara. So the Gemara just simply, for the last bit, discussed whether a Chatzar, that a large Chatzar opening up into a small Chatzar, which is effectively the case of the Mavui opening up into a Chatzar, the Mavui here in this case being the small Chatzar, opening up into the large one. So Rav says that you're allowed to carry within the chatzer. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to carry in the larger chatzer. And so what did Rav introduce over here? So that's what the Gemara just got done discussing. And that is, what did Rav in fact introduce over here? Continuing now in the Gemara, we're going to be discussing other types of mavui. The Gemara over here now is going to be discussing an odd-shaped mavui. Itmar. We are on Ches Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud, about five lines down. Mavui Asu Ken Nadal. Let's say I have a mavui that looks like a Nadal. What is a Nadal? Rashi's description over here seems to be like a caterpillar. Okay, so I don't know how good your imagination goes. If you have a picture over here, a picture would be extraordinarily helpful. And again, if you want to see a schematic within our Gemara, so Tosfos over here has some. It's hard, admittedly. If you look at Tosfos, it's hard to make out the picture from the way Tosfos presents it. Once you know what the picture is supposed to look like, so then you can see it within Tosfos. But admittedly, if you have any kind of picture book, it would be helpful, extraordinarily helpful. Basically, what we're looking over here, and I'm going to try to help visualize, we're looking at a large mavui, and actually the large mavui then breaks off into smaller mavuis. Basically, almost like the street configuration that we're used to living in. Okay, so I have a large mavui that opens up into mavuis that come off to the side. Why are we comparing this to a caterpillar, to a centipede, whichever insect you want to call it? Basically, the body of the caterpillar is the main mavui, and the legs are the mavuis that go off to the side. And now, how does this get adjusted? That's the Gemara's discussion. Itmar mavui asu kenadal. Amar Abaye osetzur sapesach legadol. Vanachkula mishtari belachilikara. So Abaye says all you need to do is just simply make one tzur sapesach for the large mavui. And now, you have now turned it from a mavui mefulash to a mavui sasum. And then for all other of the side mavuis, lechin kara would be sufficient. So Amale Rava Keman Kishmol Dama Tarasu Kesasum. So the Gemara says, wait one second. You're treating this like a mavui sasum, meaning, and we have to say this at this point in time, that a larger mavui had a bend in it. So it was a mavui akum. And so now you're saying that we're passing like Shmuel. Well, Shmuel says it's a mavui akum is viewed as a mavui sasum. And therefore you don't need a tzuras apesach. Lamalei tzuras apesach. Va'od, and furthermore, how mavui akum to have a minarda. Look, there was a bent mavui in the town of Narda. Let's remind each other, the town of Narda is the town of Shmuel. And meanwhile, in that mavui b'chashalei l'derav, in that mavui they were concerned of the shita of Rav. And that means to say they put an actual tzuras apesach in that mavui. So Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay, so we're going to assume that the large mavui, the central mavui, is going to be a mavui mefulash. So Oset Tzuras HaPesach LeKulo Lahai Gisa V'Idach Gisa Mishtar B'Lechi V'Kora. So each of the side mavuis coming off the main mavui, each one of them is going to require its own Tzuras HaPesach on the side that abuts the large mavui. And then as it exits onto the other side, so there you're going to have to put a Lechi HaKora on the other side. Meaning we're going to be viewing it as a mavui mefulash with the adjustment required for a mavui mefulash. A tzuras pesach on one side, lechin kara on the other side. Amar Rav Kahana bar Tachlifa mishmei de Rav Kahana bar Minyumi mishmei de Rav Kahana bar Malkiyo mishmei de Rav Kahana Rabbei de Rav. Okay, so a lot of Rav Kahanas over here involved in this mem of Amrila in another version. Rav Kahana bar Malkiyo hainu Rav Kahana Rabbei de Rav. Okay, in terms of who said it, a lot of Rav Kahanas involved. Anyway, the halacha is mavu shetfido echad aruch v'tfido echad katsar. So let's say now we have a standard mavui. Okay, so over here now, we are going to come back to a just regular, standard mavui sasum. The oddity over here that's being explored is the following. Typically, when you have a mavui, so you have the two walls basically ending at the same line. If I were to draw a straight line running perpendicular to the two ends, to the two entrances of the mavui, so they'd be meeting one another. Here, what we're discussing is that they don't come to the same line. One extends further than the other. So, tzido echad aroch, one line is, one wall goes out long, and the other one goes out shorter. So, what's the halacha over here? So, mavush tzido echad aroch, tzido echad katsar, pachos me'arba amos, miniach es akora ba'alach son. So, if the long wall does not exceed 4 amos, meaning if I were to draw a perpendicular line from the short wall, and it now hits, it's going to obviously hit the long wall, and then the distance from that line to the end of the long wall is less than 4 amos, so then you could just simply put a diagonal wall. Arba amos ena maniach es hakara ela keneged hakatzar. However, if the excess of the long wall is greater than 4 amos, so then a diagonal wall is going to be is not going to adjust the mavui. And what you have to do under those circumstances is you're just going to have to make a straight kora going from the short wall to wherever it hits on the long wall. If the excess is going to be greater than 4 amos. Rava Amar, now Rava says no. Echadze vechadze, eino maniach es hakara ela keneged hakatzar. No, in both circumstances, you can only put the wall on a perpendicular from the short end, from the short wall. Now, ve'ema time and didi, ve'ema time and didu. So, obviously, over here, a dispute taking place, and the Gemara says, and I'm going to explain both sides of the dispute. Ema time and didi, kara time and my mishum heker, uval achson lo havi heker. He says, look, as far as I'm concerned, I view the kara as a heker. This is an idea that keeps expressing itself again and again throughout this parak. Meaning that we know the kora adjusts. That's the horizontal beam. But why does the kora adjust, or how does the kora adjust? So this is a consistent debate taking place here in our perek, and that is, it operating as basically a halachic wall, or is it operating as a heker, as a way of serving a reminder for the members of the mavli? So as far as I'm concerned, I view it as a heker. Since I view it as a heker, so it has to be something which the eye catches. If it's going on the diagonal, it does not catch the eye. Meaning we favor, with our perception, we favor a perpendicular and 90-degree angles. And so the only way that it really will represent a heker is only if it's going to come straight across and not going on a diagonal. That's my position. The aim of timing to do. Now, as far as you're concerned, where you are okay with an angle, admittedly up to a point, but you're okay with an angle, so that's, you're of the position, kor mishum mai mishum mechitza. You are of the position that the kora operates by serving as a halachic wall. And there, once the kora is operating as a wall, it doesn't make a difference whether the wall is coming on a perpendicular or whether it's going off on a little bit of an angle. In other words, if it's coming down as a wall, it comes down as a wall. Still, even within the shita, if the excess is greater than 4 amos, so then we just can't view this mavui as one entity, one unit. If the excess is more than 4 amos, we have to look at that excess as a separate entity. But up to 4 amos, so then it is acceptable to put the kora on an angle because you're of the position that it's operating mishum mechitza. Amar Rav Kahana ho b'shmaisasa de kahani hi. Now Rav Kahana says, look, this last halacha that we just learned together about the kora being put off on an angle was said over by a lot of Rav Kahanas. And Rav Kahana himself says, well, now, I'd like to add to that, and that is, right, my namesake, and I'd like to add the following. So, Ema Bamilsa, I'm going to add a halach, which is, Ha Mart Meniach HaKor Balachson, even within the position that says that you could put it on a diagonal, La'amar El She'ina Balachsono Yosem Me'eser, Aval Yesh Balachsono Yosem Me'eser, Devar Akol, Eino Meniach Ela Keneged HaKatzer. Let's say that I work with the position that I'm allowed to put on a diagonal. If, however, by putting on a diagonal, so now the hypotenuse is going to exceed 10 amos, it's not going to work. Meaning that the only way that this putting on diagonal works is only when the hypotenuse is 10 amos or less. Once it exceeds 10 amos, so then it simply cannot be viewed as a Pesach. Okay, that was his addition to the discussion. Okay, and we're going to finish up this morning with one more halacha, something quite frankly that we already discussed earlier in this parak, but the Gemara now is going to treat this topic straight on. And that is that let's say the mavui was adjusted with a kora, like we learned on day one of this mesechta. And now it allows to carry within the mavui. Am I allowed to carry up to the kora, or can I carry even underneath the kora? Now, the difference is really, honestly, very small. Because the kora, I mean, it could be wider, but the kora is only a tefach wide. So really, we're talking about the difference of carrying one additional tefach within the mavui. Admittedly, it's not a lot. But fundamentally, principally, what is the issue? So the Gemara is going to go over three possibilities. So, Ibailu, Manli Shamashachas HaKora, can I carry underneath the Korah? So before we go through the possibilities, first, it's a machlokas. Rav, V'Rebi Chia, V'Rebi Yochanan Amru, Mutter, Lihishtamish, Tachas HaKora. So according to the Shitas of Rav, Rebi Chia, and Rav Yochanan, yes, you can carry up to and even underneath the korah. Shmuel v'Rebbe Shmuel bar Rebbe v'Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish amru aser lihishtamish tachas korah. And on the other side, you have Shmuel, who happens to be the bar plukta of Rav, Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, who is a contemporary of Rebbe Chia, and Reish Lakish, who was a bar plukta of Rav Yochanan. So you see how it matches up. So they're all of the position that I'm not allowed to carry underneath the korah. I mean, I can only carry up to the korah, but not underneath the korah. Now, we know it's a machlokus. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara is going to go over our three possibilities. So one possibility is how does the korah operate? Either it operates as a heker, or it operates as a mechitza. Now, if it operates as a mechitza, so that means to say that it's going to come down as a wall. Even as it comes down as a wall, we still get to ask the question, which side of the korah is coming down as a wall? Is it the interior side of the korah or the exterior side of the korah? Right now the Gemara is assuming it's the interior side of the korah. So if it's operating the shemachitza, I can only carry up to the korah. If, however, it's operating as a heker, so you get to notice it even while you're directly underneath it. The Gemara says that's possibility number one. Possibility number two, low. No, everyone's of the position Korah operates as a heker. It just happens to be the debate over here is the heker coming from the interior or is the heker coming from the exterior? Or, to say it like Rashi, meaning who is the heker really serving? Serving the people in the Mavui? Serving the people in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? If it's serving the people in the Mavui, so then it only serves as a heker for the interior of the Korah. If it's principally a heker for the Bnei HaRishus HaRabim, so then it would be the exterior. Or it could be that the machlokus over here, both groups are of the position that the Korah operates as a mechitza, and it's just a question of whether it's the interior of the Korah coming down or the exterior of the Korah coming down. The Gemara says these are three different proposals of how to understand the machlokas. I'm Rav Chista, just one more line for this morning. Hakol modim bebein l'chaim sha'aser. Now, in terms of a korah, can I carry underneath the korah? Major debate. And we gave three different explanations. What if, let's say, the mavui was adjusted with a lechi? And that is a vertical pole. We have not given much time to the vertical pole. We are going to discuss it later in the perek. But what about the vertical pole? If I have a vertical pole, it's serving as my tikkun, as the adjustment of the mavui. So there, we have agreement. I can only carry up to the pole. I cannot carry beyond the pole. Okay, tomorrow I'll start off with a simple explanation in terms of why. Let us recap today's daf. Admittedly, today was a bit of a challenging daf within Erevin. Right? Erevin's reputation of being a difficult masechta. So daf ches is a good example of why it is. But hopefully, we walked away with basic ideas from today's daf. We started off our morning by going over the halachas of a mavui, where it opens up on one side directly to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it opens on the other side into an enclosure, either a rachva or a chatzer, and what becomes of such a mavui. So we opened up going back to yesterday's daf with the statement of Rav Yehuda Merav. With the statement of Rav Yehuda that says under those circumstances it's not a mavui mafulash and it doesn't need any special tikkun, just regular lechi v'korah. It's a mavui sasam and that's enough. On the other hand, we had the statement of Rav. Rav says that when I have a mavui opened up into a chatzer, so under those circumstances, I can carry within the mavui. So why that should be, so we had basically two ways to understand it. Our original way to understand it is that because Rav fundamentally takes a position, this is a mavui mefulash. The Gemara ends up saying, no, he views it as a mavui sasam, like Rav Yehuda does. The difference is whether or not you made an eruv, you didn't make an eruv. If I made an eruv, so then I unified the mavui and the chatzer. Therefore, I'm allowed to carry within the mavui, because the mavui and the chatzer now are one in the same. However, if you did not make an eruv, then I can't carry within the mavui, because the mavui now is an area which is open in its entirety into the chatzer. It is analogous to the case of chatzer katana, chatzer gedola, which we're going to keep hearing about again and again throughout this masechta. Okay, the Gemara spent some time on chesem and aleph going through the havamina, but the maskana is the way we just presented it. Next, we talked about where we spoke out two more halachas on chesem and aleph. One is what happens if there is alignment between the opening of the mavui and the chatzer that it opens up to, and the opening of the chatzer that goes into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If there's alignment, do I view it as a malvui and a fulash? So this is subject to a debate. Rabbah's position clearly is that we view it as a malvui and a fulash. And the only time that we allow the carrying within the mavui is only when it's offset and not when it's perfectly aligned, when the entrances are perfectly aligned. Then we went through a halacha of Rav Misharsha, is that even when it's offset, if the enclosure is owned by one person, we're worried about structurally changing the enclosure. And so that means to say that we are worried that what we're going to have is a straight line going from the mavui to the chatzir to the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says, really? You're worried about structural changes? Yes. When it's owned by one individual, we're worried about structural changes. And the Gemara brought a precedent for that. What if the mavui opens up into an embankment? So the Gemara says we have to worry, even though the embankment is halachically considered a wall, we have to worry about erosion. And therefore, you have to put up an additional wall in addition to the embankment. A bent mavui, Gemara returned back to the topic of a bent mavui. The question becomes, by a bent mavui, what kind of adjustment is necessary? The Gemara discussed the bent mavui that was in the town of Sura, how exactly it was adjusted, and whether it was trying to appease the position of Rav or the position of Shmuel. The Gemara goes back to the topic of the mavui opening up into the chatzir, which Rav says you're not allowed to carry within the mavui when no Erev was made. The Gemara wants to know, this halach of Rav is really a Mishnah that we're going to see later in the Masechta. What's Rav adding to the discussion? So the Gemara went and discussed that point. Then, the Gemara on the top of Chesam and Beis takes us through the mavui, where you had a central mavui, and then you had mavui's offshooting off the central mavui. How is that to be corrected? Question of whether or not the essential mavui is to be viewed as a mavui sasam or a mavui mefulash. The Gemara's conclusion is that we're always worried about the shita of Rav, that a bent mavui is going to be viewed as a mavui mefulash. It requires a tzuras ha-pesach. Where to put the tzuras ha-pesach? The Gemara's conclusion, putting a tzuras ha-pesach on every branch that comes off of the main mavui, and then on the other side of those smaller offshooting mavuis, putting a lechi and a kara. And then finally, the next major point that we discussed was what happens when a standard mavui, where the walls are not hitting the same line, the same perpendicular line, and so one wall extends a little bit beyond the other wall. So can I put the kara on a diagonal? So if the excess is greater than 4 amos, the answer is unequivocally no. If it's less than 4 amos, we have a debate whether or not the kara can go off on an angle instead of making a flat, a straight perpendicular line going across. So this is a debate. The Gemara says that the core of the issue of the debate is how is the kara operating? Is it operating as a heker or is it operating as a mechitza? If it operates as a heker, hekers do not work on angles. Hekers are much more eye-catching when they are working with 90-degree angles. On the other hand, if they're operating mishum mechitza, so then you could put the kora off on a diagonal. And then finally, am I allowed to carry underneath the kora? Machlok is between Amoraim. One group of Amoraim/Tanaim. Right? One group of Amoraim, another group of Amoraim, debating this issue. What's at the core of the debate? Three possible ways to explain it. They're arguing over whether a kora is operating mishum mechitza or mishum heker. They're both agreeing that it operates mishum heker. It's just a question of who is the heker serving. They're both agreeing that it's operating mishum mechitza, whether it's the interior of the kora coming down or the exterior of the kora coming down. And finally, if the lechi is used to adjust the mavui, so everyone's in agreement, you can carry up to the lechi, but not beyond the lechi.